I have Knaan Lidor, an Israeli journalist, who is going to unpack what on earth is going on in the Netherlands. Knaan, great to talk to you again. It's been a long time. I think you were based in the Netherlands the last time we spoke, which was about 3-4 years ago.
Wow, has it been so long? Unbelievable. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. So why you and why now? Because I was reading the Jerusalem Post. I see an article saying that the Dutch foreign minister, Caspar Veldkamp, followed by 9 additional government ministers, have resigned due to Gaza. Please explain what is going on. Give us a Politics 101 Netherlands for the next 10 minutes.
Okay, so the bad news is we are going deep, but the good news is that it's quite representative of what's happening across Europe. These are broad trends that are unfolding in the Netherlands. So these politicians led by Caspar Veldkamp and also his deputy minister for the foreign ministry, Hanneke Wurma, they belong to the New Social Contract Party. And that's a soft right-wing party. It's kind of a yuppie, slightly Christian, but still left-leaning party. And they're feeling very, very uncomfortable by what's happening in Israel. And they're even more uncomfortable with the fact that they're in a coalition that where the senior partner is the party, there's a freedom party, of a party for freedom, sorry, of Geert Wilders, of a rather hard right and very pro-Israel party. And against these tensions, these the milder components of the coalition and the harder ones on Israel, there's been a lot of problems, especially because Caspar Veldkamp has led the initiative to isolate Israel in the EU. He's taken the EU association agreement with Israel, opened it up for debate in the European Commission, and that's a big deal for Israel. That's billions of euros in tax exemptions and the facilitation of deals. So he's actually, while he's sitting and representing one of the most pro-Israel governments in Europe, he's advancing the former foreign minister. He advanced Israel's isolation and basically a boycott of Israel. Very inconvenient position for everyone involved.
Knaan, that's kind of strange to me. Without knowing anything about Dutch politics, and I don't pretend to know anything, I would have thought, using your word, soft right, that would have been sort of Orban-style politics, hence not particularly anti-Israel. Why is Caspar Veldkamp, what's his issue with Israel?
So we'll get to Caspar Veldkamp in just a little bit, the person, because he knows Israel. That's an important thing to realize about him. But let's speak about his electorship, really, his voters, his base. They are right now coming out of a 2-year brainwashing session that Israel is perpetrating genocide, is responsible for starvation, is basically the representative of all that is evil. And because this is the soft right, because this is a sort of a milquetoast church crowd, that is the one contingent of the votership of this coalition that's very susceptible to the media's manipulations, lies on Israel. So his voters are saying, what is this monstrosity? How can you stand there idly by? And he has so far, and now he's resigned. It's a funny resignation because actually the whole government is going home in about 2 weeks. 2 months. Sorry, they collapsed due to a no confidence vote. The Party for Freedom pulled out. It really collapsed the coalition. So they're heading toward an election on October 29th. This is very symbolic. This is symbolism politics. This is not really the resignation of the foreign minister, although technically it is. But he's stayed on so far because now he can do this gesture, come out well with the milquetoast church crowd, and still not give up actual power.
I don't know the society in the Netherlands at all. But it just dawns on me that to put a government at risk to resign a position based on what's happening in a foreign country thousands of miles away, what does that say about local issues? Is it just that there aren't any, that it's so wealthy and so first world that there are no issues in the Netherlands?
I think it attests to the exact opposite. I think Israel encapsulates the societal clash, because if you're for Israel, then you're for the Netherlands of the 70s, of the 60s, where young people after university went to volunteer in the kibbutz, and Israel was this ideal of good. You're for that past. You're for making the Netherlands great again. But if you're against Israel, then you're a part of the progress of the forces of progressivism. You're woke. And so the societal clash in the Netherlands, it erupts over various issues. We saw it over COVID. It's now the government collapsed, not over Israel, but over immigration. But those are very hard, very difficult, very deep subjects. It's much easier to fight over Israel. And that is where we kind of transcend the Netherlands and look around the continent, and that's playing out exactly the same in Belgium, which is of course a microcosm of Europe, and in France, where why did the President Emmanuel Macron, he was one of the first leaders to visit Israel after October 7th, why did he so radically turn against Israel? Because of the societal clash, he is on the side of the anti-Israel crowd. He's a progressive. He needs to stay on good terms with his base. And that's why even if we saw Macron's personal preference go out to Israel, he landed here a week after October 7, okay, or maybe 2 weeks. Very unusual gestures, spoke very powerfully, but then politics always wins. And in the end, this is a galvanizing issue. This is a watershed issue.
Canaan, who's got the numbers? Who's going to win in the following elections? Which faction is more powerful?
It's very difficult to say. Because look, the largest party in the Netherlands is the Party for Freedom. And it is unabashedly pro-Israel. In fact, Geert Wilders has been lashing out at Israel's critics while all this crisis was unfolding. He seems to be down in the polls, which is normal for a party coming out of a ruling period. It's kind of an incumbent. It's got the incumbent syndrome going. When you look over Germany, though, same story. The AfD, the controversial alternative for Deutschland's party, that is also, it's just a stone's throw from becoming the largest party. But that is also generating a lot of opposition. You see mobilization among the Arab immigrant populations, and parties from the left are also uniting. They're putting away their differences because they understand that the right wing is growing, and kind of paradoxically, they become stronger for it. So it's a coin toss, and there's no knowing right now.
Klana, I just find the whole situation so completely fascinating. It's news to me. Tell me something. This Kaspar Veldkamp, has he overplayed his hand, in your opinion? Do you think that his base, there'll be blowback, that he took it perhaps too far, that they didn't expect him to do this? Or is he doing this because he's got the full support of the base?
Yeah, absolutely. This is not going to hurt Veldkamp.
Not going to.
This is up the alley of his new votership. He broke away from the old party of Maxime Verhagen, the Christian Democrat Appeal. By the way, they were the ones who outlawed Hezbollah, among the very first in Europe, very pro-Israel. This was kind of the legacy of Maxime Verhagen, a former foreign minister, to outlaw Hezbollah. It was his gift to the Jewish people, he said. So he's breaking away from that old party, decrepit old party, as it's seen by its renovators, and appealing to a younger crowd. So now it's hip. Now it's hip to vote for social Christian Democrats because of what Veldkamp did. But let's talk about Veldkamp. He was ambassador in Israel. So a lot of people, after he stepped down, came out with this Pavlovian response of, well, what do you know? You're detached European. You spend your days in The Hague and you know nothing about the region. Well, that's not true, actually. Feltkamp spent 4 years here and he was considered a very popular ambassador from the Israeli perspective. He was certainly an improvement to his predecessors. So this is a person who is very, very familiar with Israel's predicament, kind of ingrained in Israeli society. It was just a few years ago he was an ambassador. I met him here. Also, one of the best Dutch ambassadors to have served. And how do you explain that? So intimately familiar takes this totally detached position that Hamas, by the way, praised yesterday. They sent out a press release congratulating him for his moral courage and fortitude.
My goodness me.
Yeah, tell me who your friends are. But my personal interpretation is that it's not that Kasper Feldkamp, it's not that he doesn't know Israel so well. He knows it very well, but he's not prepared to change what he knows about Israel, a country that will almost always strive to maintain and contain and continue and not go all out and try to strike some sort of compromise with its neighbors. So he's kind of set in that vision of Israel, and he's not prepared to see it leave this comfort zone. And yet Israeli society has turned a corner. There is great determination to change the reality in Gaza. We're very divided on how to do it, but that Hezbollah cannot be allowed to sit on our borders anymore, and that Hamas cannot be allowed to build another terrorist army under our nose. That is consensus here, and that's the new Israel that Kasper Feldkamp and his like are finding very difficult to accept.
It's just so bizarre that Geert Wilders is the primary member of the coalition of which he is a member. There's a disconnect here. Just doesn't make sense. Did you foresee these kinds of tensions at the start of the coalition? Did you see this falling apart over issues like this?
Not at all. The protagonists, like I said, you know, Kasper Feldkamp is a huge surprise and disappointment. There was this assumption that Geert Wilders will kind of rule in the background and at least isolate Israel from this very determined actions against it, at least by the Netherlands. And it was believed that the Netherlands would moderate any action in the EU. Ironically, it led it. So this came as a huge surprise, and it just shows still the power of mainstream media. You know, in the States that's not the case anymore, but in Europe we do see how the media is able to shape at least policy on that front.
Klan, leaving that topic a little bit, I'm going to exploit you because I've got you. That awful, awful event after, I think it was the Maccabi Tel Aviv game in Amsterdam, where basically there were pogroms in the middle of the city and Israelis thrown into canals and beaten up. What I'm interested in, what's the follow-on been? What has the justice system done about it? Has anybody been held to account?
Been held to account. There are right now 10 people. 10 people have stood trial. Of them, 7 were convicted. The worst offenders have received two, three months in jail. That was the worst, the heaviest penalty for scenes of just abject violence, kicking people in the mouth on the street on camera and conspiring to hunt down the Jews. You know, the punishment is 2 months. Many have been, 4 have been let off with time served, you know, basically the few days that they were held awaiting trial. And most perpetrators, there are 122 of them, were filmed, have not been either identified or summoned for a police investigation. So basically, you know, 9-8% of the perpetrators, they went after them, slapped them on the wrist, and are now going about forgetting all about it.
Kanaan, we're going to leave it there. No wonder you left the Netherlands. No wonder at all. No doubt we'll be speaking again soon, but thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
That was Kanaan Lidor, Israeli journalist, ex-Dutch citizen, who made a decision to bring up his children in Israel because he didn't feel it was the right place to bring them up in the Netherlands.